would not have had a opportunity to partake of the first Passover, they get that second opportunity and the second Passover. And it doesn't matter whether they're clean or unclean, during that second Passover, they must take it. They must offer the oblation of Almighty Yahweh. We're going to start in Numbers chapter 9. And we'll read starting in verse 1 and Numbers 9. It reads, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Moreover, let the children of Israel keep the Passover in its appointed season. In the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall keep it in its appointed season, according to all the statutes of it and according to all the ordinances of it shall you keep it. And Moses spoke to the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover in the first month on the 14th day of the month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses. So did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were unclean by reason of a dead body of a man, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said to him, We are unclean by reason of the dead body of a man. Why are we kept back? That we may not offer the oblation of Yahweh in its appointed season among the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, Stay here, that I may hear what Yahweh will command concerning you. So there was a reason that the second Passover came into existence, okay? It wasn't originally, it seemed, in the original document or the original law. Verse 9, it says, And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your generation shall be unclean by reason of a dead body or be on a journey far off, yet he shall keep the Passover to Yahweh. In the second month, on the 14th day at evening, they shall keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it to the morning, nor break a bone of it. According to all the statute of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean and is not on a journey and fails to keep the Passover, that soul shall be cut off from his people, because he did not offer the oblation of Yahweh in this appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover to Yahweh, according to the statute of the Passover and according to the ordinance of it, so shall he do. You shall have one statute both for the sojourner and for him that is born in the land. Now, when you think about this, that there is one statute for all, the stranger, the sojourner, as well as those that are born in the land. Yahweh tells us to keep his covenant. And if the people want to keep the covenant, then they would have to have entered into that covenant. And at that time, what verified the covenant was circumcision. They would have to be circumcised to be able to partake of the Passover. Today is different. They have to be circumcised of heart, which is baptized members who are commanded to partake of the Passover memorial. And it says if they don't keep the oblation, they will be cut off from among the people of Yahweh. It's commandment that they keep the Passover. So, let's turn over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, verse 43. Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every man's servant that is brought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he shall eat of it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat of it. In one house shall it be eaten. You shall not carry forth any of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone of it. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when the stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. So therefore, no one that's not baptized is invited to participate as far as taking the Passover." But we see, as I said, with Teshuvah, which is that second Passover, it's a return. They have that opportunity at being redeemed. Losing. All right, there we go. And okay. Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14, we'll start in verse 1. It said, "O Israel, return to Yahweh your Elohim, for you have fallen by your iniquity. You've fallen by your sin. Take with you words and return." That word return is teshuvah, to Yahweh, and say to him, "Take away all iniquity and accept that which is good, so will we render as bullocks the offering of our lips." Now, what we have to understand here is that the only offering that we can give today, we don't offer bullocks, we do offer the offering of our lips, the praises to Yahweh, okay? When we return to Yahweh, we do ask for his forgiveness. We do come before him with, like I said, our prayers, our songs, and these things, but we don't, we cannot give anything greater than what has already been given through Yahshua the Messiah. See? So this is why this is perfect. In verse 13. Hebrews 13, we'll start in verse 15. "Through him, then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to Yahweh continually, that is, the fruit of the lips which make confession to his name. But do not forget to do good and communicate, for with such sacrifices Yahweh is well pleased." Now, again, we're giving these praises of our lips. We're giving these sacrificial offerings which come from our hearts. They come from our hearts because we are the people who have been chosen by Almighty Yahweh to give praise to Him. In Psalm 33, start in verse 1, it says, "Rejoice in Yahweh, O you righteous. Praise is comely for the upright. Give thanks to Yahweh with the harp. Sing praises to Him with the psaltery of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of Yahweh is right, and all His work is done in faithfulness." Our purpose is to praise Yahweh. We have been created to praise Yahweh. In verse 5, it says, "He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of Yahweh. By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." The message I preached on Sabbath, as well as some of the others that I did during the feast, dealing with the word and the words of Yahweh. And the reason I said words, because I'm speaking of the speech. Yahweh is the one that has given us, through His holy communication, our instruction. Everything that we know has been based on Yahweh speaking to man. Okay? He commanded the man. He communicated with us. It was Satan who tried to get in between and divert and pervert that communication, to try to take it into a different direction so that people would not be able to not only not praise Yahweh, but be offended. He tried to change that relationship of trust between Adam and Eve and Yahweh, which he did by throwing that lie in there. And that's why our words are so very important. And what we're supposed to do with this, our mouth and what comes out of our mouth, is to praise Yahweh. It's very, very important for us to understand that. It says, verse 6, "By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps and storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahweh. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Not anybody else, not any other being, but Yahweh. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Yahweh brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the thoughts of the people to be of no effect. The counsel of Yahweh stands fast forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. So He's expressed to each and every generation the thoughts of His heart. "Blessed is the nation whose Elohim is Yahweh, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance." And that's us, brethren. If we're faithful, if we're keeping the covenant and doing that which is right in His sight. In verse 13 it says, "Yahweh looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looks forth upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He that fashions the hearts of them all, that considers all their works." Now think about Pharaoh, okay, and how he, when he was chastised by Yahweh, in Exodus 9:13. "And Yahweh said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, in this manner says Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me, for this time I will send all my plagues upon your heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none other like me in all the earth. He was showing Pharaoh that he is the true king of the earth. He's the mighty one. There is no other. All the mighty ones of Egypt were idols. Okay? Now, verse 15 says, for now I have put forth my hand and have struck you and your people with pestilence, and you have been cut off from the earth, but in very deed for this cause have I made you to stand to show you my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Do you still exalt yourself against my people, that you will not let them go? And then he told him he was going to have this grievous hail the next day. And Pharaoh still didn't, let him go. He didn't respond. Now, the hail fell. The verse dropped down to verse 27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. He had sinned before. Yahweh is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Pray to Yahweh, for there has been enough of these mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands to Yahweh. The thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that you may know that the earth is Yahweh. Now, how many of us? Now, we weren't there. We're just reading this. So it still takes belief. See? We just went through the Passover. We just took the emblems, the body and blood of Yahshua the Messiah. How many of us believe and will give the praise and teshuvah, return to Yahweh, as we had looked in our hearts to get rid of all of the leaven? Now we're back in the leaven. We can eat leaven again. The second Passover is not one that's leaven-free. You don't have to clean your house. You can still, those who are taking it have to, not eat leaven that day because they're going to eat the Passover memorial. But it's just that one day. But what Moses is trying to get the Pharaoh to see is that the earth is Yahweh. Yahweh is the true mighty one. And verse 30 says, but as for you and your servants, I know that you will still not fear Yahweh Elohim. Back in Psalm 33, verse 12, again, it says, blessed is the nation whose Elohim is Yahweh, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Yahweh looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. Okay? Now, drop down to verse 16. It says, there is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither does he deliver any by his great power, because the power of Yahweh is greater. Greater than any army on the planet. Verse 18, behold, the eye of Yahweh is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his loving kindness. And I hope that's each and every one of us, brethren, that we are hoping in Yahweh's loving kindness. This is why we praise and come before him and give him praise. And this is why I love to sing praises. He has given me even since I was a child, I enjoy singing to Yahweh and praising his name. So therefore, that's something that I look forward to doing. To deliver their soul from death, in verse 19, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul has waited for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Yahweh, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you. We don't want to be caught short. See, this is why we trust in Yahweh. That relationship that was broken between Yahweh and Adam through Satan having got in and deceived Eve and they sinned against Yahweh, they broke that trust. But through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, the trust has been reestablished. In Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim in whom I trust." I truly hope that each one of us has that trust. And this is the reason that we are showing up. We're keeping his new moon. Psalm 81. It says in verse 1, "Sing aloud to Elohim, our strength. Make a joyful noise to the Elohim of Jacob. Raise a song and bring here the temple, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, and on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the Elohim of Jacob. He has appointed it in Joseph for a testimony when he went out over the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I knew not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. You called in trouble, and I delivered you." And Yahweh has delivered Israel, not only from Egypt, but each one of us from the bondage of sin, which is a type of Egypt. It says, "You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I proved you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify to you. O Israel, if you would listen to me. O Israel, those who rule with El, Israel, there shall no strange El be in you, neither shall you worship any foreign El." He's talking about demons. See, "I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people Israel listened not." They didn't shema. They didn't listen to my voice. "And Israel did not consent to me. So I let them go after the stubbornness of their heart, that they might walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of Yahweh should submit themselves to him. But their time should endure forever. He would feed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock would I satisfy you." Almighty Yahweh wants to bless his people. He wants us to partake of the best, the finest of the wheat and the honey out of the rock. See? And that water that flows from Yahshua the Messiah to his people. We believe, and this is why we have teshuva. We have those that are actually turning and repenting and giving Yahweh praise. We have to. We have to bless him. We have to praise him because this is why we were created, for the glory and the praise of Almighty Yahweh. We're going to go over to 2 Corinthians. And I'm sorry that you're going to the wrong one. Go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 20. It says, "But now, as the Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also the Messiah shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. The Messiah, the first fruits, then they that are the Messiah that is coming. And that should be us, brethren. Then comes the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says, all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who did subject all things to him. And when all things have been subjected to him, then shall the Son himself also be subjected to him that did subject all things to him, that Yahweh may be all in all." And then drop down to verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power." The average man is just a frail creature. But when he is endowed with Yahweh's Holy Spirit, he becomes a spiritual creature, a spiritual person. In verse 44, "It is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is also written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Teshuvah, having that second chance, that opportunity to gain Yahweh's Holy Spirit, to be a part of the first fruits, is something that each of us should be trying our best to participate in. However, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the heavens. "As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." And that's each one of us that has accepted the salvation and the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. And it doesn't matter whether you're a sojourner, whether you are a foreigner, if you accept that covenant and you receive the baptism by fire and the Holy Spirit, you will receive the gift and you will be changed from the earthy to the heavenly, the spiritual. And you know, and we'll finish here reading 50 on down to the 58, but what I want to get everybody to understand, it says here, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Okay? And what I've been teaching with that 144,000 is this. Those who are of the age of accountability, those who are over that age will not be in that kingdom. See? The only ones that are going to be a part of that kingdom are those like Joshua and Caleb, those who have overcome, those who have overcome the wilderness, those who have partaking and are following in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. It says, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. There are going to be some alive when Yahshua returns who will be changed. But they're going to have that down payment. They're going to have that Holy Spirit within them so that they can be changed. We all shall not sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, that shofar blast, just like it is at the new moon. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall the saying come to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim who gives us the victory through our sovereign, Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not vain in Yahweh. And as we celebrate the second month, we want to continually keep our minds on the second chance that Almighty Yahweh is giving his people. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name. We thank you, Father, for again allowing us to celebrate the second month. And as we prepare, Father, as we are counting towards the Feast of Weeks, we want you to continually watch over your servants and bless us. Help us, Father, to be faithful in everything as we count this Omer, as we seek to be a part of your kingdom, as we do our best, Father, in fulfilling each and every one of your covenant laws. You tell us to prepare. And as we are seeking to get to the Feast of Weeks and praise you and enjoy you and to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth for that spiritual weekend, that double Sabbath, help us, Father, gain the knowledge that you would have for us to be able to make it to your kingdom. You know, we know that you're protecting your people and that you're watching over us. But continue to feed us, Father, and to give us the things that we have need of as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Again, we ask that you would continually bless those that are fasting with us for the issue that we're fasting for. We thank you for the brethren. As we receive the call from Trinidad today and this evening, verifying the sighting of the new moon, we ask, Father, that you would continually bless your servants throughout this world, that each one of us would be faithful in all things that you've given us, and that we would praise your name, Father, on a daily basis, and again bring us together again tomorrow at noon so that we can praise your name and come together and continue with this fast and blessing that we ask you to give to your people in Kenya. So, Father, we love you, and we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and it's in his holy name that we pray, asking all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Elder Davis.
Let me stop the recording.